Do you know that today it's World Water Day? It's a global initiative that grew out of the 1992 United Nations Conference on Environment and Development. And ever since, all states are invited to devote March the 22nd to implement UN recommendations on water, as well as set up concrete activities that are deemed appropriate in the national context. Well, it is globally acknowledged that water and sanitation are human rights, vital to reducing poverty around the world. Together with good hygiene, these essential services are the building blocks for all other development as well, like health improvement, education, and good livelihoods. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Yes, but that's until you take stock that almost 50% of the developing world's population, and that's 2.5 billion people, lack improved sanitation facilities. And over 884 million people still use unsafe drinking water sources. And this means that thousands of children are killed or sickened every day, and thousands of others are further impoverished and deprived of opportunities. Within such a dramatic scenario, how can a single World Water Day have any meaning at all?
I think the significance attached to World Water Day is really the degree to which we can highlight the central issues that challenge not just the water and sanitation sector, but also development at large.
Henry Northover is head of policy at WaterAid, the largest international NGO dedicated exclusively to water and sanitation services.
Water and sanitation is, you know, everyone needs it. It's a basic human need. Some argue it's a basic human right. It's fundamental to human development. And yet it's a sector that I think because many people in the rich developed world take for granted, it's a sector that's by and large sidelined when it comes to international development priorities.
Most of us, Henry Northover pointed out, are probably used to seeing posters on international development depicting a child playing in water, getting a water pump going.
But the sad fact is, the reality is that water and sanitation gets very, very little attention, and particularly sanitation, when it comes to international development policy making.
Can you explain then why water is so important in reducing poverty around the world?
It's integral to human development. 80% of our own bodies are made up of water. As a species, we are highly dependent on clean, fresh water for our very existence. Probably next to air, it is the most immediate of human physical needs. One aspect of this that I think really summarizes perhaps why water and sanitation is so often excluded from the political and policy-making agendas is that, by and large, the burden of water and sanitation poverty affects women disproportionately.
Yes, it's the women, Mr. Northover explained, who are almost invariably saddled with back-breaking, water-fetching labour.
Not uncommon for women in rural areas to spend 2 hours every day trying to get to clean water sources. You will often find particularly girls excluded from going to primary school because they can spend hours a day fetching water.
He also pointed out the enormous health impacts the lack of access to fresh, clean water has, most especially on children.
If one was to put 10 jumbo jets and fill them with children, that's about how many children we lose every day from diseases related to water and sanitation poverty. More than half the world's hospital beds are taken up, in the developing world, are taken up with people suffering from diseases that are directly attributable to water and sanitation poverty. So it impacts on economic livelihoods, women in particular. It impacts on education. Girls are often denied education with all of the knock-on impacts that that has for their development livelihood prospects. And it has a huge impacts on health. 90% of the people dying from water and sanitation-related diseases are under the age of 5. Frankly, it's scandalous that we're losing our children to something that in the developed world we take for granted.
The tragic figures that Henry reels off are very sobering. And it's also true that in rich nations we take fresh, clean water so much for granted. Rome, for example, is a city of fountains and of so-called fontanelle, century-old freshwater drinking fountains that flow continuously for thirsty humans and dogs, and why not, a do-it-yourself car wash or other such activities. Do we waste a lot of water, do you think, in the rich countries?
In the rich world, yes, we undoubtedly do, and there are stresses put on our own water resources and so on. But let's be clear about this, that water and sanitation poverty is a developing world phenomenon, that the binding constraint is not the physical scarcity of water per se. Now, yes, there are stresses on water, but in terms of the water that people need to drink, wash with, cook with, clean themselves with, there is availability of that, but it's unequally distributed.
Unequally distributed, just like wealth, property, and so on. But maybe that is not casual at all.
So that you will find that if you go to the richer suburbs in cities across Africa and Asia, they will be connected to water. The water that they drink is cheaper in real terms than the water available in poorer areas, that water enshrines the perverse principle that the poorer you are, the more you pay for it, not just in relative to your income, but in absolute terms. So that you can go into a bar in New York and they'll, in Manhattan, some of the richest parts of the world, ask for a glass of water. If they give it to you out of the tap, it costs less for that bar than it does in the poorest areas in the world.
So does it have any sense if I say to my five-year-old, don't waste water, there are children who could benefit from all the waste you are making here. Does that mean anything?
Well, in a sense, it would be good for your five-year-old to help understand water poverty and obviously, I think, as with my kids, just to help get the message across just how privileged they are and what we all take for granted shouldn't be taken for granted. But the taps in your house, your consumption of that does not come at the expense of the consumption of people living in poverty, water and sanitation poverty in the developing world. They rely on their own water resources.
But I imagine pollution and climate change, for example, does have a huge impact on them.
Increasingly it does. I think the key picture we're dealing with here now is unpredictability. It introduces a huge element of uncertainty about rainfall patterns that, you know, sub-Saharan Africa already in many areas goes through these massive spikes of either too much or too little water, and that not only varies every year, but decade upon decade. Now, the most reliable assessments we have suggest that those spikes are likely to deepen, so that climate change, in a sense, is going to introduce a new dimension of uncertainty and unpredictability. And that's why we need to get systems in place now so that we can better cope with the stresses of climate change and some of the anticipated effects that climate change will have on domestic water consumption.
What Henry Northover wanted to make quite clear is that globally we are making reasonable progress on delivering safe water.
We're not doing well enough, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa. We are doing better, but the area where we're doing really, really badly across the developing world is on sanitation. That's on providing toilets and treating and removing human body waste. And that is something that's gaining more and more critical importance to public health because we're dealing in a rapidly urbanizing and, in fact, in reality, a slumizing world where it's particularly, again, children that are dying from the effects of inadequate treatment of human sewage. And the effects are realized in diarrhea, in malnutrition, in acute respiratory infections, that it pops up in all sorts of different ways. But the reason that it's one of the biggest killers, killing about a third of all of the children worldwide, is because we're not giving sufficient attention to sanitation.
What can we do? How important is awareness, for example, in our countries?
Well, I think it's absolutely critical. If one thinks about the big developmental challenges, HIV/AIDS, for instance, you know, that was just off the map 10 years ago. And we're not making sufficient progress on that, but we are making solid progress. And we're miles ahead of where we were 10 years ago. And in a sense, that was down to generating public opinion. There's a tendency for faith-based communities to get it. They understand how, in the language of the church's social teaching, how it's central to the common good, how, in a sense, it's incumbent on the rich world to stand alongside their brothers and sisters in the developing world and ensure that they get their entitlements to some of these most basic of human needs. So in a sense, as a matter of solidarity, as a matter of ensuring the common good, as a matter of a preferential option for the poor, there is a clear need for us to all speak up and to end this outrage of water and sanitation poverty. And it's an outrage because those who carry the biggest burden are those who are least able to stand up and speak for their rights as human beings. We're all part of one species, and we need to ensure that all of us have the same entitlements to the gifts of nature.